information and guidance regarding Wine Country Real Estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
The following show is brought to you in part by
Highway 12 Winery. Sonoma wines ranging from Sauvignon Blancs and Chardonnays to local reds such as the Mission Hardware Old Sonoma Red, with a tasting room located at 27 East Napa Street, Suite S. Hours, 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. daily. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma. The Red Grape features New Haven-style pizza with thin, crispy crust high-fired in a stone-lined pizza ovens. For more information, call them at 707-996-4103. Visit their website at theredgrape.com or find them on Facebook at The Red Grape.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway. For more information, you can call 707-343-1898 or you can visit their website at unicomtax.com.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau, the only spot to get a regional parks pass in the valley, reminding you to support local restaurants by ordering direct and picking up your food in person. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater, located on the Sonoma Plaza. The theater offers a year-round schedule of films, live music, comedy, magic, and theatrical performances. It is also available to rent for private events with seating for up to 320 guests. More at SebastianiTheater.com.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we are back. It's the morning show, everybody. Monday morning, the 19th of January. And we have our next guest with us this morning. Lori Varsamas is back with us this morning. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Marsha. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. We were talking in the break about, you know, the big changes, you know, kind of we all kind of cocoon a bit over the holidays to take our breaks. Mm-hmm. And then come back here and get really focused and charged into the new year and all that, and how good it is to recharge our batteries for all of that. And I imagine you're somewhat in the same kind of boat. You know, go back internally a bit, plan for the new year and all that. And as a busy business and personal professional coach, you must find also that your clients probably do the same thing too, that they're, you know, fall back and regroup during the holidays to make prep so that starting the new year, they always say, start strong.
Yeah.
Right? Right? That's a big deal,
well,
starting strong.
You know, it is. And I have to say that the older I get, the more I'm against it. You know, if you think about the natural rhythm of winter, right? Winter just started on December 21st. Right? It is a time to cocoon. It is a time to rest. It is not a time to jump out of our seats, go on diets, and upend our lives.
Right.
You know, maybe in March, right? But when the things warm up, right, when energetically we've kind of come out of the cocoon, but it seems so silly that we put this pressure on ourselves, right?
Right. How much of that, though, is like the weather? You know, we definitely cocoon when we've got nothing but cloud cover and rain and stuff that really forces us, or we go, or we use this as an excuse. It's pouring outside. I'm not going out in that, you know? So you stay cocooned inside. And yeah, most people have to go to jobs. And
well, it's true, right? But that doesn't mean, you know, I think, especially here in Sonoma Valley, right? We're really used to, you know, from May until October, it's jamming. You know, we're working hard, you know, and we live in a primarily agricultural economy, right? Let's talk about that, where people have to hustle. They're making hay while the sun is shining, literally.
Right. Yes.
But socially, we do that too, right? It's Tuesday nights on the plaza, and then there's something, some kind of festival going on every weekend. So by the time October hits, I'm like, I'm done.
I am not disagreeing with you on that point at all, because we run around like crazy during the really nice months to do all that. But what you and I were talking about before the show was a little bit about how we have this culture of busyness.
Yes.
And, you know, social media doesn't help with that, because it encourages people to share all the things that they're doing, all their activities, everything from the vacation that's supposed to be the quiet time, but is perhaps showing them surfing or, you know, whatever place they're going to far, far away, and all the sights that they're seeing, being very busy.
Right.
To, you know, we don't show pictures of the quiet moments of meditation. You know, that's pretty rare, but it's absolutely needed for our balance and our mental health to have that quiet time as well. Do you think busyness is also born out of when we are out of focus and balance, we have a certain sense of nakedness?
Ooh.
That oh my God, I'm not, because I don't feel super focused, I gotta look like I'm focused. So it's a veneer.
Well, you are bringing up some existential. You're going deep today. I love it. I love it. Well, I think, you know, what you're talking about, too, is it's baked into the culture, right? Like, it's there are people that fall into that, right? We see it on social media. What we're not seeing on the family vacation is the screaming kids or the parents who are fighting because they're not parenting on the same plane or the missed flight. We're not seeing that, right? And I think what we have baked, we've got a cultural problem, not personal problems. It's like, you know, I don't want to shame anybody by talking about hustle culture, but I think really what we have here is that, you know, we're all children of the American dream, right? Somewhere along the way, if you are not a native of one of the native peoples from this area, then you're an import. And imports, right, are coming with a dream of, if I work hard enough, I can be something, which is awesome in theory, right? But if you ask a racial educator about it, they will tell you that hustle culture is born out of religious zealots, who we call the pilgrims, who came to Plymouth Rock, who were religious zealots who did not believe in idle time. And in and of itself, that started a culture of worker enslavement, right? And I mean, I'm being radical.
Doing,
right. But we do to the point where we can't even rest. You know, I that's the part that's hard. You know, there are people, you know, I want to acknowledge fully that not everybody can escape hustle culture because we are supporting families and we all know how expensive it is to live in California, Northern California, right? That people are working multiple jobs. I am.
Right.
You know, that's a real thing. But when we cannot rest without guilt or shame, or, you know, really, if we talk about hustle culture, really, it's normalizing a culture of busyness without any boundaries.
Right. And I do feel in many ways that has happened, in large part because we live in the gig economy.
Right.
Gigness is closely associated with hustle culture.
Yes.
You know, going from one gig to the next.
Yes.
You're hustling. Hustling also has a negative connotation to it, that you're coercing someone else into doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it starts with ourselves, right?
We're talking ourselves into moving more maybe than we want to.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you been in a situation where you're talking to people that you know, but maybe you're not that close with, and how you've been, oh, I'm so busy. And you're like, ick.
Right.
You know, that's when you're like, come on now. Is that busy that you want us to be proud of for you?
Or what does it mean? It has no clear definition.
Well, you know, when I was at the height of my busyness, you know, I was a wine rep on the East Coast. I was doing Miami to Manhattan sometimes in the same week.
Wow.
And I was in my early 30s and I was exhausted. And I would basically come home on a Friday afternoon. I would start doing laundry and get it all done. And then I was writing thank you notes to the people that I saw while I was on the road. And then Monday came and I realized I hadn't seen a friend.
And you were back into it.
And I was back into it. And, you know, years later, that translated to 2 autoimmune diseases, chronic stress, chronic pain. You know, I've seen my dad went through 2 what he calls silent heart attacks and 2 open heart surgeries to follow. And a lot of that is about hustling. and yeah. working hard.
Yeah.
But working hard without any sustainability. Like, I don't want to sit here and shame anybody for having ambition or for wanting to feed their family. But if you're doing it at the point where you can't sustain friendships, relationships, or your personal health, that's when hustle culture has caught you.
Yeah. It's gone on beyond. Mm-hmm. And it's very tough for people on the lower ends of the economic ladder. Yes. Because their choices are more limited, at least their perceived choices are more limited, that, you know, they're being paid X hourly rate.
Right.
And with housing through the roof these days and the cost of living through the roof, that means they got to pile on the hours of work more.
Right.
Just to keep their heads above water.
That's right. And if you're doing that with the hope of getting citizenship or having a better life for your children or whatever the narrative that mm-hmm. you have, whatever the motivation is for you, it's a good one, but it's easy to talk yourself out of self-care.
Yes.
And that's the hard part, right? I mean, if you're working a few jobs and you're raising kids and you're trying to make it work, I get it. And what can you do? What kind of pockets can you carve, whether it's waking up a half an hour early to stretch your body if it hurts, or 10 minutes in the car to just close your eyes and either take a cat nap or meditate.
Right. Not while driving.
Not while driving, but, you know, like, you know, on your lunch break or whatever. Like, what can you do? You know, I think to the same degree that we pencil in and carve out time on our calendars, we can do the same thing for rest.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do it because we all require battery recharging to get through day after day after day after week after month after year. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
That's right. And if we're going to be living 80 years or 75 years, and if we can't really retire until we're 70, 75 anyway, you know, we better start taking it a little bit slower.
Yeah. Yeah, because when I think back to my 20s and early 30s and my work schedule, I was like, how do people do this? I am up, you know, at dawn, pre-dawn, whatever. I'm hustling to get to work, to the job I commute to. So there's that portion. And then there's the hustle through the work day to do what I have to do as part of my assignments. Exactly. Hustle to get back, you know, hustle to then, you know, try to do, you know, the food on the table, the modicum of exercise to remain healthy,
right.
You know, repeat, rinse all over again
right.
to the point of craziness. And I do feel like it took decades for me to get to the point where I go, okay, these things have to go,
right.
These things stay, and what the problem with the hustle culture and the busyness is not taking those 10 minutes. You need to do that enough times so that your brain and your body reset so that they can recognize the things that aren't working for you and
absolutely.
Get it to your conscious brain.
Totally. You touch on something really important here, which is really resetting your nervous system. Because I think the problem with hustle culture is that we've got our nervous systems in overdrive, that we're not doing enough. We're not performing enough. We're trying to anticipate what's going to happen in the future. So we're anxious and we're projecting fear stories, right? And so, and what happens is the brain creates those stories. Whereas if you take that 10 minutes to breathe, like you're suggesting, you are resetting the nervous system. You don't have to be formally into meditation. You don't even have to be someone who mm-hmm. loves exercise. But just to sit and breathe consciously and notice your thoughts and without judgment, it's like just enough to kind of get you back on track.
Yeah. Some of the best advice I heard from somebody who studies this stuff, neuroscience, all the time was, if you can find every hour of your waking time, simply to just stop and take 6 deep breaths to reset your nervous system, it goes a huge way towards bringing you back where you need to be. Because if your nervous system is going and going and going, it's also generating cortisol like crazy and flooding your system with it. because it thinks it needs to have this protective layer out there.
Right.
So you're doing things like, you know, generating more inflammation.
Right.
And picking things up. So you got to find ways, start small, just with the breathing.
Right. Yeah. It's just small. There. Yeah. And be mindful. Am I doing this because the so-and-so's next door think that's a good idea of what adulting is? Or am I doing this because it really resonates with my values? Or do I have to because it's part of the survival of my family?
Yeah. So all those things need time to get some evaluation.
Right.
And you can do that with 6 breaths every, you know,
totally.
Every hour, a couple hours or wherever you can get it in. Wow. So you're working with clients on how to get to the point where they can recognize what is and isn't working for them. First
totally.
Step.
Well, you know, and Marcia too, right now I'm doing a lot more coaching for people in the hospitality industry, which has been very telling too about what's going on in our community, right? That these are folks who work their butts off, and they're not just working their butts off because, you know, there's a lot of tourists that come into the area, but they also love it, and they love seeing other people happy, and they love creating experiences for other people. And so it's really noble. It's noble to see people who want to make a good experience or make happiness for other people. I love that. I'm totally jazzed by that. Just like people, just as important as people in the nonprofit world. But these are the people that suffer some of the most burnout. And that's a lot of the stuff that we address in coaching because, you know, they love their job. They really want to do it, or they've worked to a certain point and they're happy in their careers, but they're also really exhausted. And in hospitality, very few people actually have weekends off.
That's right.
So they're living alternate cultures from people
Maybe
in their families.
Get Tuesday, Wednesday, or something like that. Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
So they get funky days off. Plus, they have the added stressors of the downturn in the wine industry economy.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's going through a major reset at the moment. So there's fewer people coming to the wineries for those visits. So there's the stress of how do I get more people to come here? How do we make sure they have a better time? Because part of that reset is a question of, is this visit worth X dollars? You know, so there's a big reset taking place in terms of, is this what I really want? Is this the kind of experience I want? So,
well, it's interesting. So my other gig when I'm not coaching is I do marketing and partnerships at Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. And one of the things that has been amazing to watch as all of our member businesses are going through this is this reset. So I've been with them for almost 7 years now. And it was the year I started was the year of the fires. Then it was the year of the power outages. Then it was the fires in Santa Rosa that were bringing darkness to our skies and concern to our hearts.
Yep.
Then it was pandemic. And now we're, you know, all of these rapid changes politically have created uncertainty, too, for, you know, whether or not as many people are coming to the Valley, which impacts our hospitality partners, which makes our you know, the winery partners nervous. Like, are we going to get the same? The wine business is having a problem. Now we've got to deal with this. And I think what I want to say is that businesses are in the Sonoma Valley. I want to just, if you are a business person in Sonoma Valley, I want to just, you know, tip my hat to you right now in a round of applause, because the last 7 years have been hell. And you have had to pivot so much and reinvent yourself a million times to make yourself more palatable. And, you know, I guess when I talk about hustle culture, I'm thinking about all of you too, because this is what you have to do to stay alive and keep your business going. And what would it look like if you could just give yourself some grace and say, all right, maybe we're not going to make as much as last year, but what can we do? What's in our control?
Right.
What kind of breaks can I take so I don't burn out, so I can make this sustainable for myself instead of being grumpy at work or frustrated or short with my employees?
Yeah, exactly. And there are tools for that too, but we're going to get to those tools after the break. So we will be back right after this, everybody.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815. or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater on the Sonoma Plaza, offering live shows and event rentals. More at sebastianitheater.com.
KSVY is powered by local voices. And right now, we're building something big for 2026. 120 new monthly reoccurring donors by April 1st, our 22nd birthday on the air. If KSVY and Sonoma TV help you feel connected to music, to neighbors, to the public record, or has touched your life in some way, here's the easiest way to keep it strong. Go to ksvy.org. Click Donate. Choose Monthly. Pick an amount. Even a little bit goes a long way. Or enter your own. Add your payment info and boom, you're a monthly reoccurring donor and you're helping keep local media thriving. One-time gifts are always appreciated, but monthly support is what keeps us steady week after week. Join Voices of the Valley 2026 at ksby.org. And thank you for powering community media, the voices of the Valley.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group. For information and guidance regarding Wine Country real estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
It's not uncommon to develop aches and pains as we age. When the pain isn't acute, we often choose to live with it, which is not always the best idea. Most will go away naturally after a period of time, but some pains can become chronic if untreated. If you are experiencing persistent aches or pains, it's a good idea to have them checked by your physician.
The Kenwood Firefighters Association will host its annual Crab Feed on Valentine's Day, Saturday, February 14, 2026, at the Kenwood Fire Station, 9045 Sonoma Highway in Kenwood. The event is a fundraiser for the association's scholarship program, Explorer Post, and other community needs. In 2025, the association awarded $15,000 in scholarships to Kenwood youth. Tickets are on sale now, and a limited number of private dining tables are available. The doors for the Crab Feed will open at 4 p.m., with three seatings offered at 4, 6, and 7:30. Seating times for private dining at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. If you'd like more information on the Kenwood Firefighters Association Crab Feed, call Kenwood Firehouse at 707-833-2042.
And now back to The Morning Show.
Gummed back in at The Morning Show, January the 19th. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host here for another 40 minutes or so. 40 minutes or so, and we're talking with Lori Versama's professional and business coach, which is the same thing. I meant to say personal and professional coach. And Lori has got more certificates and training that I can shake a stick at. Let's see. Lori Versama's PCC, CPCC, TICC. Lori, you have a lot of certifications in coach training, which is cool, and it's great. And listeners, if you want to know more about them, be sure to go to LoriVarsamas.com to learn more. And, of course, you can find Lori online anywhere. That's L-O-R-I. VARSAMES.com to learn more about Lori and her background. She's been telling us her background in the wine industry, both as a rep, as she said earlier, going up and down the coast from New York to Miami in the same week, visiting with stores, which is an extraordinarily busy schedule, but also working with the hospitality industry here in the Valley. And with our Visitors Bureau, which has been really cool. So before the break, we were talking about the things that you can do and stepping back. What came to me was the SWOT analysis. You're a very experienced marketing person. I'm curious, do you use some form of the SWOT analysis with your clients in some way or not? And I'll let you explain it all to our listeners.
Yes. I mean, we don't, I don't do it as a formal, analysis, but it comes up all the time in coaching, right?
Yeah.
When people are focusing on their weaknesses, and not in an attempt to, negate that, but sometimes it's like, well, right, but what do you, let's name five things that you do really well. Right? And it forces them out. Not only does it force them into a positive mindset, but which is great, but it's not in and of itself what's important. What's important is that they can get themselves out of that nervous response system, right? Where sometimes when we're so negative and hard on ourselves, right? But another thing that we do too, and I do it early in the process when everybody's still pretty raw, is I have a duo personality quiz on ways that they get in their own way. And I think that it's a chance for them to kind of notice those patterns early. So when we start our coaching, then we're like, oh, remember how you are, challenged by overachieving, or maybe you are a people pleaser, or, the list is long.
Yeah.
Perfectionism.
I remember many years ago, one thing that helped me quite a bit in evolution is I think I had like some piece of shirt cardboard lying around, oversized, and I divided it into three columns. Things I did really well, things I did well enough but could be better, and then things I really needed to improve on. And I had, filled up the cardboard, and of course at the beginning I felt like the side that was things I need to improve on was much longer. But as each month went by, I moved things over to columns. Okay, I got better at this. I can move this over there. And pretty soon, things started to weigh more on the right-hand side. And you do this well. This is good. And it's a great way to build your sense of, I'm on the track and I'm being more true to myself.
Yes. Agreed.
And getting focused away, less busyness, and more focused on the things that I'm good on and can help people with.
Yeah, I think it's in the same vein of working smarter, not harder, right? It's like, how can you be more efficient? And part of that is being true to your values, right? Instead, I think of how much time I wasted at jobs where I didn't feel appreciated, or the core values of the company weren't really in alignment with mine at all.
Yeah.
And I did that maybe for the cool thing on the resume, the cool line item on the resume, or so, I remember when I was in the wine business, everybody was so interested. I'd go to a dinner party. Oh, tell me more. I'm like, well, I'm, selling to, it didn't feel like, it felt like just another day of hard work for me, but other people, really liked it. And then when I switched to coaching, it was amazing. Nobody wants to know about coaching. And so, because it makes them think about themselves, right? I mean, I think that, there are jobs, there are scenarios that feed our egos, and that's good, right? But just in trying to circle back to what you were saying before too about, looking at our strengths and weaknesses, and that in and of itself can be kind of hustle culture-y, right?
If you go overboard.
Like, that's why it's like this new year, new you thing, what happens in January, I like it. It's a good idea. Let's make it for the spring when it's a natural rebirth, right? Not when it's 40 degrees out.
Right. And also, you don't have to force yourself into going, 0 to 100 miles an hour on January 1st or even January 20th.
Right.
it can take time to get that all built. One of the things that always kind of cracks me up about business that I think is very unrealistic, and I adjusted with my own business, is this idea of, you plan a budget and you plan, X revenue, X income for 12 months. Well, when I look at my business, which is mostly website design, digital marketing, some traditional marketing and advertising and things like that, for the most part, everybody is done by November, December.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent their plan. I'm on the planning end of those things. I am on the building of the websites, the building of the marketing strategy, and all of those things. Those things better be in place and finished by November, December, because that's when everybody's out there doing their holiday shopping. That is right. When the wine industry is doing their final big push of the year for OND, which does stand for October, November, December. But what it means in the wine industry is we are selling like crazy.
Yeah.
We are pushing hard because this is when we move the most merchandise, the same way that retailers move the most merchandise around the holiday season. So you got to have everything in place ahead of that. So when I looked at my own balance sheet, my own planning and budgeting for that, I was like, no, I'm not planning for 12 months. You know, I'm planning for, you know, 9-10 months.
Right.
Instead. And I'd better hit all those marks up to that point.
Right. Well, and so that's right. But what you do, what that allows you then is to enjoy the holiday season, mm-hmm. right? And by planning well, this is the smarter, not harder, right? Saying, okay, I do need to show up and do it well for the 9 months, but it's ridiculous to do it for 12.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to keep that in check. Just like you know, I think of restaurants, right? You know,
yes.
it's pretty quiet for them right now. So mm-hmm. don't forget your favorite restaurateurs, right. folks. But that there's always an opportunity to say, all right, well, you're making hay literally while the sun's shining, right? While there are tons of tourists in town. So like this is an opportunity to squirrel away those dollars so that we can rest and enjoy that quiet time without being nervous that we can't pay the bills. Yeah. Easier said than done, right? But that's the challenge.
Yeah. So what do you find in working with your clients that is like oftentimes when you're working with them that the aha moment kicks in and now they actually see a path forward that they can jump on. They're focused. They're not doing busyness with a right. why. They're focused. They're taking that one fork in the road to be focused on this one path. And they've got the energy and the wherewithal to go on that. What helps trigger that for people to get there?
I think that the biggest thing that people realize, and whatever that thing is, right, is that it's choice. To what degree are we telling ourselves, what do we have a narrative about what our future should be or what our reality should look like or what our relationships need to be? To what degree are we choosing behaviors, mindsets, patterns that are no longer serving us and then blaming it on others, right? So when I think of busyness, for example, right? Okay, well, you know you're stressed, overworked, and in burnout.
Yes.
So, and now we're 3 months into coaching and you're still making the same choices. I'm going to be like, okay, well, what did you do to schedule that free time this week? You know, what kind of dangling carrots do you have in your horizon? Like visits with friends or family that might light you up or go seeing a show or whatever it is, or even a workout to make you feel better. And if people are actively not choosing that, then that's on them. It's not a circumstance. It's like, okay, I'm not choosing myself. And I think too, when we talk about hustle culture, it's not, again, ambition isn't the issue. It's self-abandonment. And I think that to answer your question, it's that when we decide that we're not players in our own lives, which is bullshit. Pardon me. It's not true. There are factors that are part of that. Are we choosing a dream that doesn't resonate?
Yeah.
Are we choosing friends that don't light us up, but they feed a different part of our egos or something? Whatever.
You know, you made me think of an aspect of this, which is, you know, in the choices, are you seeing too many choices in front of you and feeling like a deer in headlights, like, do I do this? Do I do this? You know, the first choice doesn't have to be the perfect one.
Ooh, love that.
And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Route 66 mm-hmm. was not a straight line to LA. You know, sometimes you got to zig and zag a little bit. That doesn't mean you're not making progress forward.
I love that. I love that. And I think that that's what more people need to believe. You know, this belief that we should know who we are and what we're supposed to do with our lives when we're young is bogus. It's just not realistic. We got to just do the best we can to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Good analogy going with the whole metaphor there. And, you know, part of that is you can see cool sights along the route.
Right.
Right? And each of those side trips can be helping you narrow it down so you're getting your focus there so that you get faster and faster at going, no, that's not it. That's not it. It is this one path. And then suddenly you get Dorothy's Yellow Brick Road.
That's right. There's no place like home. But sometimes, you know, all who wander are not lost. And I think that that's one of the biggest things I learned. I love to travel. My husband was an adventure travel guide for a long time. And I think that there's also a belief that sometimes when we wander, we don't know what we want. But sometimes it's about enjoying the ride.
Yes. Yeah. Enjoy the ride. Check things out. And this is not to say that, not like a snail, you can carry your home on your back.
Right.
You can be home anywhere.
Right.
And boy, do I really applaud the people who have great comfort at doing that all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Which is great. And that is part of the goal. Have the adventure and take your home with you.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why it's not unrealistic to take those breaths, because what's on the inside of those eyelids is all home.
Right. Right. Good point. Good point. So as we wind up our time here a little bit, talk a little bit about how you work with clients and how you get them to that state.
Totally. I mean, I basically have a minimum of 6 months commitment to coaching, because I think it takes that much time to change behaviors and mindsets. It is, you know, the way I work is typically adjusted to the needs of the client. If I'm working with a business, or I'm working with a leader in a business, or I'm working with a private citizen that's having career challenges, those are different things. But, you know, the idea is that we're starting off understanding what their goals are, where they want to go. Sometimes people don't know where they want to go, but they know they won't want their status quo. So we kind of start from there. Then we take personality quizzes to see, you know, ways that you get in your way. And then we jump into topics. So the client comes prepared with a topic that we state out loud. So different than therapy, where we just kind of ramble. You know, we're kind of a little bit more focused in coaching, and with the idea of moving you forward. And so, you know, most people start seeing big results at about 3 months, but by 6 months, lives can be shifted. But it's a personal to everyone's pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. We are creatures of habit. We have both good and bad habits, and it takes time to discard the habits we no longer want or want to be reliant on, and to build the new ones that replace them.
Yes.
So I think the new studies out say it can take it's not like 7 to 21 days, which I think used to be some of the talk on that. It's like upwards of 66 days.
Yes.
And on beyond, up to like 120, 180 days to really solidify new habits that really, that are automatic. Habits are automatic things. So it can take a lot to make those changes occur.
Absolutely. And that's where having a coach is really great, because you've got an accountability partner, you got somebody cheering you on in the moments when you're being too hard on yourself and you're not looking at all the things that you have done to move you forward.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We've been talking with Lori Varsamas, PCC, CPCC, TICC, personal and professional coach, right here in Sonoma Valley. If you would like to know more, if you're curious about her work with both businesses, business leaders, and individuals on making their transitions happen and getting their lives changed, reach out. Lori's available on social media. And again, LoriVarsamas.com. Lori, thank you.
Marcia, thanks for having me. So great talking to you.
It's been a lot of fun. And listeners, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Lisa Tolles right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery, More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater on the Sonoma Plaza, offering live shows and event rentals. More at SebastianiTheater.com.
KSVY is powered by local voices. And right now, we're building something big for 2026. 120 new monthly reoccurring donors by April 1st, our 22nd birthday on the air. If KSVY and Sonoma TV help you feel connected to music, to neighbors, to the public record, or has touched your life in some way, here's the easiest way to keep it strong. Go to ksvy.org. Click Donate. Choose Monthly. Pick an amount. Even a little bit goes a long way. Or enter your own. Add your payment info and boom, you're a monthly reoccurring donor and you're helping keep local media thriving. One-time gifts are always appreciated, but monthly support is what keeps us steady week after week. Join Voices of the Valley 2026 at ksvy.org. And thank you for powering community media, the voices of the Valley.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group. For information and guidance regarding wine country real estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Season with herbs instead of salt. Try curbing your salt intake by seasoning your foods with fresh or dried herbs. They're versatile and can spice up any dish by adding flavor without the sodium. If you absolutely need some salt, try reducing the amount and use half, or just adding a little pinch.
Charmian London shares an evening of music and amore at An Intimate Affair, February 12th at the Sebastiani Theater here in Sonoma. A program of stories and music to support education programs at Jack London State Historic Park. Back by popular demand, words of love between and about Jack and Charmian London will come to life at An Intimate Affair at Sebastiani Theater on Thursday, February 12th from 5:30 to 7. The event is presented by Charmian Circle. An Intimate Affair will also include music by pianist George Meiling and fourth-generation jazz vocalist Josh Little, plus wines provided by Lassiter Family Winery, Bubbles, and Valentine's Day Treats. Tickets are available at jacklondon.com/events/AnIntimateAffair2026. A perfect Valentine's Day presentation at the Sebastiani, February 12th. An intimate affair.
And now back to The Morning Show.
Gonged back in, everybody, to The Morning Show on Mondays. I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host here until 10 o'clock. Not too much longer. And then we'll have Simon Says Sports after that. I'm sure we'll have a recap from Simon on the Rams and the Bears game and all that good stuff coming up on sports. In the meantime, we have our next guest with us. Lisa Tolles is an award-winning Bay Area crime novelist known for her very fast-paced, character-driven thrillers. Her work explores complex social issues, corporate espionage, and fringe technology. And it's getting less fringe all the time, which is kind of interesting as each book passes. Her previous ENA investigation series books have included Hot House and Salt Island. They were both number one Amazon Kindle bestsellers and won numerous awards, including Bookfest, PenCraft, and Reader's Favorite Awards. And also, now she has out a brand new debut magazine called Story Impact Magazine. Lisa, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcia. I love coming on this show, and we have great conversations.
We do, which is part of what makes it so much fun. So Story Impact Magazine, which I know is born out of your book coaching business, Story Impact Consulting, and you also have a blog associated with that as well. Tell us a little bit about the name and how the magazine came about to be.
Sure. So it started really with a podcast that I started shortly after COVID, around 2021. And I wanted an opportunity to not just hear author interview, not just read them on the page and not just hear them in a podcast, but to see them. I wanted an opportunity to actually see the author as they were talking about their work. And so I started a YouTube channel, which turned into a YouTube podcast. And now the podcast has been going for a few years, and now I've got it on Podbean, and you can hear them on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify. And so the podcast is growing, and the podcast was called Story Impact Author Interview Series. And eventually, kind of my adaptation to the job market, I got laid off in March of 2025. And like a lot of people are doing when they couldn't find work going the normal channels, they took their expertise and they thought, what can I do with this? How can I monetize this? And I had been working with authors for like 15 years as kind of a coach doing pro bono work, just kind of helping people using my expertise in communications and marketing. And eventually I put together Story Impact Consulting, kind of hanging a shingle as a book coach, because I've worked in the corporate business world for 18 years for tech companies doing marketing and doing communications. And I've also been an author for 20 years. So
that's
using my field experience, you know, kind of battle tested as an author, but also using my business knowledge to help authors bring their work to readers and to give them more visibility and to make them memorable to readers. So that was the consulting company. And then the magazine came out of that. And so Story Impact is now kind of this umbrella over the podcast, the magazine, the consulting, and I'm eventually going to teach some workshops too.
Right. Because people love different types of mediums. They like to use, you know, some people are very much, you know, want to be reading things on their screens, you know, that they're like, hey, I just, you know, love to get a, you know, a cup of coffee or a cold drink, you know, sit on the couch, read through, scroll through stories and information. And so this is a perfect extension. And the next person may say, well, what I do is I go to YouTube and I look for, you know, some compelling interviews there. And then that's a perfect avenue there as well. So I think it's a great extension on this. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the writers and the stories that you incorporated into the debut just launched edition of Story Impact Magazine.
Sure. And going back to your comment too, I think you're absolutely right. There are lots of different types of learners, and there are lots of different types of ways in which people consume content. You know, I mean, whether they're learning something or if they're being entertained, yes, some people, you know, like they want the heavy graphic design. Other people, they just want to sit with their cup of coffee and read. Other people want something live video. So I totally agree. This first debut of Story Impact Magazine was mainly to kind of shine a light on my podcast guests. So there are a lot of visuals and ads in the magazine showcasing those authors and their books. There are also some kind of industry articles. There's one that's on market intelligence, one on author branding. There's a wonderful feature article written by author T.E. MacArthur called Author Superhero about kind of how to like have a presence as an author when you're public speaking, which is, you know, like difficult for some people.
Because authors speak through their words.
Exactly.
So the idea of, you know, speaking in a podcast, speaking in a room can be quite challenging for some.
Quite challenging for some. Yes, for some people, definitely. I mean, like some authors want to just sit behind their computer and that's, you know, where they're comfortable. And, you know, I think for me, I'm sort of like half introverted, half extroverted. I'm literally on Myers-Briggs right in the middle of INFJ and ENFJ. And so I could go either way, you know, and I think it's just a matter of teaching yourself to be comfortable in front of a crowd and public speaking and talking about your books. Right. It's like a muscle and I believe that anyone can develop it, but this issue of the magazine is mostly lifting up those authors with some industry articles. And there's also poetry written by my husband, Lee Tolles. I'm so excited to have him as a part of the magazine. He's a wonderful poet and a wonderful writer. And in the April issue of the magazine, we're going to have another poet as well. And the April issue is the theme is travel. And so I'm going to have 7 or 8 travel memoir articles, along with photographs of the regions that they're writing about. So I thought that would be kind of fun for the next issue. But yeah, it's just getting going, and I couldn't be more excited because graphic design is kind of one of my secret loves, and so I'm really enjoying it so far.
Good for you. Good for you, because that's, you know, that's a whole different muscle, business muscle. From writing, you know, and particularly writing crime novels, you know, it's a whole different beast altogether. Is the best place for folks to go to see an issue, learn more, to go to storyimpactconsulting.com/magazine or someplace else? Okay.
Yes. No, that's exactly right. If they want to just go to storyimpactconsulting.com, they will see a link to the magazine, and there's also a link on the top to the podcast if they're interested in how to listen to those, or if they want to send me a pitch, you know, like I'm an author, I would love to be on your podcast. How can I get on your podcast? Just send me an email. My email's on there, and I'm always looking for wonderful visionary storytellers and their books.
Yeah, sounds pretty exciting to have this come out. And so it's going to be a quarterly magazine.
Yes.
Folks can order it for print, but it's mainly one of those flip magazines online.
Exactly.
To keep it easy to read.
I wanted it to be easy. Yeah, there was a lot of thought that went into the format of this. And, you know, honestly, I think people have a lot of scroll fatigue. I mean, our entire lives are vertical, scrolling and scrolling. And I wanted to give users kind of a slower, different, more immersive experience going left to right instead. So just that kind of like gives people pause. And because that's just something that they don't see online all the time. And so this way that it's not super long either, but it's a really easy interface, easy to view it. And that's how I'm going to do all of these issues.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to use that format. I think they do a good job of, you know, simulating the paper experience in many ways, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let's pivot for a second to the next book. Which doesn't come out until the beginning of August.
Right.
But I'm sure there will be pre-orders available in the upcoming months. And of course, we'll have you back long before then. But the new thriller is going to be The Weight of Cold Things. A very mysterious type of a title there. Yellowstone meets the X-Files. Now, that's an intriguing kind of profile there. You wanna provide listeners with a little bit of teaser of what is about to come with The Weight of Cold Things?
Yeah. So no one in their right mind would think of X-Files when they think of the TV series Yellowstone.
Exactly.
You know, like I don't know. I think that's pretty accurate. I'm in the final phases of editing the book right now. And in the story, it's a standalone thriller, and the story follows a Wyoming deputy sheriff in Jackson, Wyoming, and her boss disappears, the sheriff, and she's looking for him, and she receives notification that his wallet was found in a remote outpost of Alaska. And so that raises all kinds of questions, like why Alaska? What was he doing there? And the deputy sheriff, Gretchen Gooding, she has some kind of sordid history in Alaska. That's where her husband disappeared 6 months before. So we're already starting out with kind of loss and intrigue and kind of a part of her past that she's running from, which is really kind of a theme in all of my books, I think. So,
yeah. So
she has this kind of unfortunate quickening, forced to go up there to substantiate whether that was her boss's wallet. But she, you know, I mean, they easily could have just sent that to her in the mail. They also found a body. So she's essentially going up there to identify a body. And I won't give any spoilers, but that body and her missing boss is really just the tip of the iceberg. And there are a lot of things in her past that she's running from, including things that have to do with her family on Inglewood Ranch, fictitious Inglewood Ranch in Cody, Wyoming. So it's about Jackson, Wyoming and Cody, Wyoming. And I love Wyoming as a state. I've been there several times. And I haven't been to Alaska, but I did a lot of research. And what happens up there is in a place called Dead Horse. And there's just so much intrigue with that name, Dead Horse, Alaska.
Yes, there is.
It's a real place, and it required a lot of research on the Alaska pipeline and the Dalton Highway. And I had a really wonderful technical advisor, Richard Anderson, who helped me with that. And it's been a real adventure, and I'm really excited about it.
Very exciting. We've been talking with Lisa Tolles. She is the publisher, graphic designer, founder, CEO, and all of those things for Story Impact Consulting and the magazine. You can find her at storyimpactconsulting.com. That's a great place to go, and you'll see a link there for the magazine if you'd like to look through it. You know somebody who's an author who would like to be on the podcast or involved with the magazine, you can connect with Lisa there. Lisa, thank you so much for your time this morning. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Always such a pleasure to join you, Marcia.
All right. Have a great week, Lisa. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye. Listeners, thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate your time. As I mentioned, Simon Says Sports is coming right up at 10 o'clock. I'm sure you'll get a big recap on the big games that were played this weekend. I will be back here, of course, next Monday morning, 8 o'clock. Thank you all for being here and for supporting KSVY. Your support here is very much appreciated since we're a nonprofit radio station. Have a terrific week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tuesday, same thing. Early morning, patchy fog, sunshine 64, 40 overnight, 63 on Wednesday. That's the way it's looking. Not too shabby.
Shuffling madness of the locomotive breath runs the all-time loser headlong to his
death. Oh, it feels a piston scraping, steam breaking on his brow. Children jumping off the stations one by one.
KSVY Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be